Welcome to Feedback Friday. I'm your host, Jordan Harbinger. I'm here with producer Jason DeFilippo. Of course, Feedback Friday. Here on the Jordan Harbinger Show, as much as we love having conversations with our fascinating guests, our primary purpose is really to pass along their and our experiences and insights along to you. In other words, the real purpose of the show is to have conversations directly with you. And that's what we're going to do today here on Feedback Friday. You can reach us, before I forget, friday@jordanharbinger.com. Delete any other Friday addresses you might have that you think reach us. You can reach us friday@jordanharbinger.com. Just remove the other one from your contact list. I will never see it. We've been hard at work over here, man. Real hard at work, Jason. You know this.
Yes, I do.
Crushing down episodes. You've been editing out ums like it's your job, because it's your job.
It's unfortunately my job. Sanderson is here in spirit.
Yes.
But I got to say, man, the fan response to us getting back to Feedback Friday was incredible. I've been getting so many like DMs and texts and just little messages here and there from people that are like, we're so glad this show is back. I was so surprised that they were that invested in Feedback Friday. For legal reasons, obviously.
And I don't think it's for... No, come on. But it is. But it isn't. But it, yes. But it really is.
And so it really warmed my heart. I was really happy that they really dug this show. So we're going to keep doing them, I guess, while you keep paying me.
Yeah, well, that's not really why. But yes, you're right. But yeah, we've gotten a lot of support via Instagram, at Jordan Harbinger on Instagram. On Twitter, the new Twitter, at Jordan Harbinger on Twitter. Of course, in our inbox, jordan@jordanharbinger.com. And in the Friday inbox, friday@jordanharbinger.com. And everywhere else online, people have been telling their friends, helping spread the word about the new show. And that has been pretty damn cool, if you ask me. So really, thank you. If you're just finding us, but you were a fan of the other show, welcome home. And if you're a new fan, welcome home as well. You might not know. You might not think this is your favorite show. But we're on a mission.
We are.
To make it that. All right, so we got some fun ones. We got some doozies. I can't wait to dive in. Jason, what's the first thing out of the mailbag?
Hey, Jordan. I'm originally from Melbourne, Australia, and moved abroad for the first time after recently turning 30. I'm living in Berlin for a year, and I'm loving the experience. It's even re-inspired the dormant filmmaker in me to actively get back in touch with my dreams and make a trashy feature-length film based in Berlin. I'm glad your dreams were a trashy feature-length film. That's awesome.
Trashy German movies. Continue.
4 years ago, I made one of my own short films, and it completely burnt me out. The film sucked, and everything else in my life fell apart, and it led me to an all-time rock-bottom low. I took a solid break from my aspirations. I let my hair down, drank a lot, made new friends, and then, along with a few more bumps on the roller coaster ride, I kind of found my feet. Just before leaving for Berlin, I developed a nice work-life balance, a cushy Airbnb sublet operation as my own boss, a nice boyfriend of 2 years with a gorgeous cat, heaps of time for friends, eating out, video games, bike rides, TV shows, going to the gym, contemplating life, and frequent trips down to our favorite natural hot springs.
And all right.
Sounds like she landed on her feet for sure.
Well, this is before leaving for Berlin, but I can already tell where this is going. She's not satisfied with this because she feels like she should be, but she's not. I guess that's where this is going. Continue.
But now I've technically taken a step backwards for this move abroad, so I'm back to working full time, giving me not exactly enough time to give my dreams the full practical attention they would require. I want to chase my dreams, but I feel not the slightest bit primed for it, and I need your help. Do I stop being so precious about myself, get focused on the idea, surrender myself to any pain and growth necessary, extend my German visa, ditch my highly domesticated boyfriend, and pray I somehow hit the nail on the head with this project in all other areas in life?
No. No, you don't. Continue with the other option.
Do I go back to what I know at home, spend a few years ramping up another Airbnb project or similar, and turn that into my source of passive income before moving on to my passions freely and autonomously?
Probably also no, but keep going.
Do I go back home, work on some other ideas I have for YouTube instead, and kind of fall back into a mix of that comfortable life I had with a stable foundation to experiment with some smaller sized growth for now?
I'm impressed with the amount of options that she feels that she has. Keep going.
Or is there some other life lesson I'm just not seeing? I sense I might be using all this indecision to keep myself shy, self-contained, and resisting the river of life. With much anticipation, shooting through the dark.
So I do actually sense that this is a bunch of indecision used to keep herself in a box, self-contained, as she puts it, resisting the river of life. There's a lot of options here that provide a living. I'm impressed by that. Most people don't think, well, I've got all these different things I can do. Most people are stuck in a different way. So she's creating, shooting through the dark is creating a paradox of choice for herself by saying, I have so many things I could be doing. And also within, did you notice, Jason, within each of these options, she kind of put a little landmine like, oh, do I just not worry about it? I get focused on the idea. Oh, and I have to ditch my boyfriend of 2 years. Wait, what? Why?
Yeah.
Or I can do all this other stuff. And oh, but then I have to pray that everything else comes together. Wait, why is that the plan? Why is that
yep.
what you have to do? So I would say, first of all, great question. A lot of people deal with this. Not only is it a paradox of choice, but it's a paradox of security. You want stability, but you really don't want the path to stability because you're too young or you're too ambitious and you've got these other things you want to do. There's some entrepreneur blood in there for sure, because otherwise she'd be satisfied with what she mentioned earlier, which is the cushy Airbnb sublet, the, I don't know if she said video games. I feel like I heard video games, time for friends, hanging out.
Yeah, there's some video games in there. And the thing about that is most people would be like, hey, jackpot, that sounds like the best thing ever.
Right. But since I know she listed it because she's not satisfied with it.
Yep.
And I would say that you do have that entrepreneur blood shooting through the dark. You got to try it out. You've got to experiment with it because there's never going to be a better time for you to try something new. You're not married. You don't have any kids. You don't have to ditch your boyfriend. I don't know where that. Why is that in there? That just seems like she's like, no, really. I'm going to break up with this guy.
I think he's back in Australia and she's in Berlin. So,
OK, gotcha. All right. Well, still. That seems like she just added that in there because she wants my permission to say, go ahead and break up with him. Fine, go ahead. I don't care.
Exactly.
It's not me.
That's what she was looking for. She was fishing. Fishing for your permission.
Yep, go ahead. Go ahead and break up with anything that you feel is keeping you self-contained. But don't blame him. It's not his fault. You know, it's like a couch that you kept for too long.
Especially don't blame the cat.
Yeah, don't blame the cat. Relationships, though, I want to caveat this. You don't have to ditch your boyfriend. Relationships are actually more important when you're doing the entrepreneur thing, because they may be your only source of stability for a while. So as much as I don't like people that anchor us, it might be good for you to have one thing in your life that's really stable and predictable, or stable and has an income and stable and treats you well emotionally and doesn't have their own wild cards going all the time, because you might be in a rough place. And if you've got somebody who's willing to put up with you while you're in that rough place, I don't know if cutting them out of your life is a great strategy, but only you can make that decision. I can't tell you what to do. If I were in your shoes, I'd go for broke. Stability will wait. But when I get an itch or an idea, I have to go for it. And that's why we have the Jordan Harbinger Show, which is brand new, instead of just becoming, an online email marketer or going back to law or starting an Instagram, trying to become a celebrity there. I don't know. I do what I love. That was a great time to start over and take risk. So where you are right now shooting through the dark, you'll never have less responsibility than you have right now. You get a property, you get married, you have a kid, forget it. Right now's a great time to take a risk. All right, next up.
Kiora from New Zealand. I'm in a bit of a pickle. First up, I'm very lucky to have an all-around great bunch of friends that I would describe as very open-minded and inclusive of all types of people. A group of friends and I have recently booked a lad's trip to Europe over their summer, but the organizer of this trip unintentionally invited a problem along. Let's call him Grumpy.
Nice.
Grumpy lives with two of my close friends who are also coming on the trip. I've always made a genuine effort to try my best to get along with Grumpy, despite him not reciprocating and his antisocial behavior. As a group, we try to always be inclusive of Grumpy, as we know he has no other friends outside of his flat.
Oh, that's a good sign.
Yeah, really. Quite a few of us are worried about Grumpy coming on the trip, as short weekend trips in the past have been hard work with him, to say the least. Grumpy has a very negative attitude. He's not tolerant of other people, and at times, embarrassingly downright rude.
Mm.
While normally I try not to let this bother me, I'm aware that going away overseas with him for a month will be taxing.
A month. Oh, my God. Yeah. Holy cow. No thanks.
I'm lucky to have traveled overseas, and I'm aware of the ups and downs we will go through. However, Grumpy has never traveled overseas before.
Oh, no. And he's going to go for a month for his first time? Oh, man.
Trouble.
Yeah.
As you're aware, traveling overseas to foreign countries, especially with a group, is going to come with challenges in situations that will require tolerance and compromise. This is going to be quite an issue for our group. In the past, on our much shorter weekend trips, Grumpy has been challenging. A few examples. When hiking in the mountains, Grumpy would leave the group behind while the rest of us would stick together and stay behind to help the slower person that was struggling. When going out for a night out on the town, he would carry a knife in his pocket, which in our country is classed as an offensive weapon and is illegal. Whoops.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Let's bring the felon with us.
Yeah.
always complaining with a very negative attitude, not tolerant of people and situations, and the list goes on and on and on. This has led to issues in the past where Grumpy has pretty much ruined group trips. He's older than the rest of the group in his late 20s, so not much hope of things changing for the better. I don't know. You can always
change
tiger stripes there.
It won't happen in the 3 days before the trip, though, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, seriously. It's definitely not going to happen 3 weeks into the trip when you're all broke and hungry and have to deal with this guy. I try to get along with him and tolerate his behavior, as do most in our group. However, I'm aware that this will be a long trip and stressful at times. We're not sure how to manage his behavior without rocking the boat or being mean about it. Is it worth us approaching him about our concerns in a genuinely well-meaning way? I was wondering if you can give us some tips or advice on how to handle this. My hope is that this trip will help him out of his bumble. Many thanks, the Flying Kiwi.
Hey, Flying Kiwi. Wow. This guy's a disaster on wheels. Sounds terrible. And I tried to read between the lines for redeeming qualities, and they're just coming up pretty dry over here.
Yeah, seriously.
You got to have a sit down, and you got to have brutal honesty with this guy before you book flights and pay for stuff, by the way. Not after everyone's pitched in and you got the logistics. If he knows the score and he knows everyone's like, hey, Grumpy, you can't be a dick to everybody. You can't pull a knife on people. You can't mooch. You can't da da da. He may opt out himself. And he might not. He might also go along, but then you can stick up for yourselves on the trip and he can't act surprised, right? It sounds like he's got either a real problem, like he's on the spectrum in a way and also is not socialized well, because it wouldn't just be the one and not the other, or he's actually got some serious sort of emotional damage in issues that he's dealing with. But bear in mind, we train people how to behave around us. You've put up with this guy for a long time, so he knows he can get away with this BS. And if it gets really bad, I can't believe I'm saying this, but if it gets really bad, you can ditch him overseas. Look, and I don't mean like leaving him
harsh.
In Thailand. No, I don't mean like leaving him in Thailand or something. But as long as you're upfront about this, you tell him why and you're in a safe place, you can say, look, man, you can't hang out with us on the rest of this trip. You're pissing everybody off. You're ruining it for everyone. And you've got to tell him early before you go, we will not tolerate this, we'll not tolerate this. And then when he breaks the rules, then you can tell him and he can't act like you're changing the rules on him in the middle of the trip. There's zero reason that someone should know what they do wrong and still get away with it. It's a guy's trip. You're all adults. You're not a babysitter. If he chooses to come along, he has to behave himself. He's not just annoying right now. He's actually a danger to you guys. If he gets into a confrontation with someone abroad, he pulls a knife, or he just acts like a prick to people around you on the trip, he's going to totally preempt your enjoyment. He's going to possibly get you in trouble with the law or worse. So get the group together and do not chicken out of talking to him well in advance of the trip. Do not chicken out. You'll regret it. The best thing you guys can do is get ahead of this, because you know he's going to act up. He's done it every other time. The best predictor of future behavior is past behavior. Do not forget that.
You know, Grumpy sounds to me like Begbie from Trainspotting. I don't know if you're a Trainspotting fan.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, Begbie was the one character in the group who, you know, always had a knife, always got in fights, was the troublemaker, and it was the older person in the group. This guy just totally, Grumpy sounds like Begbie from Trainspotting. So if you haven't seen Trainspotting, definitely check it out, because maybe he can take some lessons from the movie as well.
Yeah,
but everything you said is spot on, definitely. You got to get ahead of this, because, man, that sounds like a horror trip.
Yeah, and I'm kind of getting the impression that they're just inviting him out of pity because he's one of the guy's roommates. This is not a good situation. You're taking on all kinds of personal and emotional responsibility for a man-child that's going to ruin what could be the best month of your life.
Seriously.
So, your choice. Have a tough conversation or risk the entire trip. That's really your choice. This episode is sponsored in part by HostGator. Gotta love the old HG. Everybody's a brand nowadays. Tell me about it. And on social media, it's getting harder and more expensive to get yourself noticed. And since these social media sites come and go, you really do need to have a stable place on the internet that you can call home, a place you can send people to find you no matter what website is popular this week. And that's why we recommend HostGator's website builder. You can easily create a professional-looking and feature-packed website. The best part is that there's no coding. You don't have to figure out how to manually edit stuff. You can choose from over 100 mobile-friendly templates. What that means is it'll look good on your smartphone, your tablet, your desktop, not like crap on your phone, but okay on Windows 98 only. And HostGator gives you a ton of add-ons you can do, like increasing your search engine visibility, with PayPal integration, shopping cart stuff. You'll also get guaranteed 99.9% uptime, and their support team is there to help with any issues you experience 24/7, 365. And HostGator's giving you guys and gals up to 62%. How did they come up with that number? Off their packages for new users. Go to HostGator.com/Jordan right now to sign up. That's HostGator.com/Jordan. Support these guys. They support us early on. When you support our sponsors, you do us a favor too. This episode is also sponsored by SmartMouth. Bad breath, the enemy of, maybe not the enemy of charisma, but certainly the enemy of intimacy in many ways. You're already working on yourself every day. You're working out, you got a nice car, great job, fun to be around. Not worth jack if you got offensive bad breath. And confidence is key. Never be the one concerned about the way you smell, at least not from your mouth. I don't recommend putting Smart Mouth in your armpits, but it might work there too. First impressions do matter. People remember bad hygiene. Ugh. And it's nasty. It's embarrassing. When you smell bad breath, you're actually smelling volatile sulfur compounds, sulfur gas. Germs in your mouth consume protein. They produce the gases as a form of waste. Smart Mouth not only has the nice, minty, fresh thing in one chamber of the bottle, but in the other chamber of the bottle, you've got this clear sulfur eliminator. It's essentially goes in, it mixes in the little cap that you get with the bottle, and the sulfur eliminator gets rid of existing bad breath, and the activator releases billions of zinc ions, which bind to germs and block their ability to consume protein and produce that smelly sulfur gas for 12 hours. No sulfur gas, no bad breath, no problem. So if you want to solve the problem, you need real science. You don't want that minty, fresh breath that lasts for 3 minutes and tries to cover it up. And now you never have to worry about that again, because you're going to find Smart Mouth at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Target, Amazon, wherever you shop. And you can also visit them online at smartmouth.com. All right, next up.
Hi, Jordan. Do you really read all of your podcast guests' books from cover to cover? I would imagine it would be difficult to ask the kind of sharp questions that you regularly throw at guests if you haven't delved deep into the written materials. How do you find the time to do this given the frequency of your shows? Do you use some kind of speed reading techniques? I tried using such techniques to read, but some of them became more of a hindrance instead. At my best form, I can read roughly one book a week amidst all the daily distractions. How can I devour books at the rate you're going without losing the comprehension that you've seemingly achieved? Cheers, trying to keep up.
So there's one line in this that caught my attention. He said, I can roughly read roughly one book a week amidst all the daily distractions. Well, I don't have those. I mean, of course I do. Yeah. I have a ton of those. But what I also have are blocks on my calendar that say, read this book. And it has the book title, and I can't just read a random book. And it starts when it starts, and it ends when it ends. And in the meantime, I'm outside walking with Audible playing the book in my ear. So I'm not getting emails, I'm not getting instant messages, I'm not checking other things, I'm not at a restaurant, I'm not trying to distract myself with something else or fight distraction. I'm outside walking. It's a skill that I feel pretty confident in. Doesn't require a lot of cognitive power. And I read. And if I'm reading at 2x, which is generally, really, that's pretty slow. A lot of people can read at 5x audio, but I can only read at about 2, 2.5 max in a book on a topic I'm familiar with. I can plow through the whole book in a couple of days, spending half the day reading. And that's the bulk of what I do to prepare for the show, other than some of the other research I do on the guest and things that I assign to other members of the team here. So yes, I read everything. I use Audible. Audiobooks are slower than reading by sight for almost everyone, but I know that I can't focus without listening to the audio. So that's why I prefer it. I also like to read while I'm outside, like I said. So I'm basically getting exercise while I do the show prep, and I take notes on my phone while I'm reading. And I don't always finish books, but I do 90% of the time. If I don't finish, it's usually not a function of time. It's usually because I lost interest or the last third of the book is all kinds of scientific footnotes and studies that I just don't need. But I spend the majority of my time reaching out to people in my network, doing show prep, so I'm able to devote tons of time to each guest. And in the end, Jason, Jen, the whole team here, we dedicate a huge amount of time to show prep. To do otherwise would really be a waste of time, because I can't expect you all to listen. I can't expect you all to share and help us rebuild the Jordan Harbinger show if the content isn't everything you want it to be and more. And the only way to keep that A-plus quality is to prepare better than we ever have before in the history of all the shows that I've hosted, and that's exactly what we're going to do. So other than that sort of intense dedication, there really is no secret. There really isn't. You just got to set up the time and you got to do it. All right, next out.
Hi, Jordan and Jason. I live in Raleigh, North Carolina. Moved here 4 years ago to go to university. I graduated last year from NC State. Woohoo, go Wolfpack. Mm-hmm. And now have a cool job in IT, a nice apartment, good salary, and basically everything an average guy would desire. I'm 30, from Eastern Europe, and I've been living in the U.S. for the past 10 years. I've still got a little bit of an accent. It's not much, but people can tell. I'm single and have been for almost 2 years now. I'm not sure if this area is more conservative or if it's just people aren't used to immigrants from other parts of the world. It's been really hard for me to connect with people, especially when it comes to meeting girls. The reason is, I feel like I come from a different background since I didn't grow up here and probably don't understand the U.S. culture and how to be around gals from the U.S. I'm at that time in my life where I want to move to a bigger city like Chicago or L.A., where there are more people from all over the world, possibly to increase the likelihood of meeting someone special. Is this all stupid? Or do you guys see foreigners struggling with this all the time? I feel like I shouldn't care too much about what people think or assume and just be myself, but it's easier said than done, especially if I'm trying to integrate into local communities. Any tips or recommendations are appreciated. Thank you and best of luck. Single in a strange land.
All right. Well, I feel your pain here. I've definitely been single and been a foreigner in a lot of different countries. This is super common. I actually got my start coaching social skills, which I don't really do as much, of course, these days, as y'all know. But I got my start doing that. There was a guy named Jürgen from Germany at the gym that I worked out at in college. And I remember him telling me how hard it was to date in America. And he would tell me all these things he would do on his dates. And I was like, oh, my God, you're terrible at this. He went to, Jason, one of the stories, this is really ridiculous. He went to, I think, like Applebee's with a woman on a date. And bear in mind, he was not a college student. He's like a full grown man. And she's there and he realizes that Applebee's isn't that nice. And so during the date, he goes, you know what? I don't want to pay for this. And she's like, what? And he goes, I'll pay for my meal, but I don't want to pay for yours. And she was like, okay. And then he's like, yeah, she won't call me back. And I was like, dude, what are you talking about? Why would you pay for your own meal and not hers? And he explained to me, which I already kind of knew about because I lived in Germany for a year, that in European, especially German culture, you treat someone else when it's a special occasion. But he felt like Applebee's wasn't that special. So he didn't want to insult her by treating her because then she would think he was cheap. And I was like, guess what happened on your date? And he was like, dude, I had no idea. My God. He was freaking out. He had no clue that that made him look that way. So I thought that was kind of a funny story. And he was full, not just him, but all these foreign guys that I started helping out. Because he was part of those foreign student groups. And he was telling, oh, my friend Jordan knows stuff about dating and he's teaching me all this stuff. So I used to tell this group of foreign guys just the most basic stuff about dating women in America. And this was the genesis of the former company, if you come from the old show. This is the genesis of that company. And I taught hundreds of foreign guys and gals networking and social skills. So your concerns are real here, single in a strange land. Smaller towns are harder. More cosmopolitan cities will definitely be easier because you'll be considered interesting and not just a strange foreign guy, at least to some people. And you can't change those around you, but you can change your environment. And if you change your environment to a place where people are a little bit more open, a little bit more interested in adventure, which is who moves to bigger cities, you will have better luck. And in this case, it's not escapism because you will objectively have an easier time in a bigger and more international city. Usually when people ask, should I move? I got to ask myself, is this escapism from where they are? Are they going to just take their problems with them? In your case, I'm not so sure. I think now's a great time for that sort of adventure. And there will never be a better time where you have less responsibility and less complexity than you do right now. So I say go for it, man. Move to a bigger town and get into it.
And as somebody who has experience in Raleigh, North Carolina, I used to date a girl there. It's a great town. It is, for North Carolina, it is about as metropolitan as you can get. But let's just say it's not that metropolitan. And I think you're definitely going to be happier in a bigger city. Come to Chicago. We're fantastic here. LA, same. Yeah, Raleigh, probably not the best place for you.
Yeah, I would say that there's a good chance that it's too small of a town for you. So good advice, Jason. Next up.
Hi, guys. About a year and a half ago, a dear friend of mine, let's call her Samantha, moved across the country to pursue her master's degree. Since then, we've been in near constant contact via a group chat between myself, Samantha, and a third friend.
She's not into you. Next. I'm just kidding. But I have a feeling that's where this is going. But yeah, go ahead. Continue.
These almost daily conversations are fun and light, usually revolving around some combination of dirty jokes and memes. But when I send her a private text, which I try to do at least once or twice a week, it falls flat. These vapid exchanges usually don't go any deeper than, what classes are you taking, or how's the weather, or I read this book and you should too. This frustrates me, because when we speak on the phone, which is far less often than I'd like thanks to our schedules, the conversation is full of witty banter, intellectual discussion, and occasional deep dives into very personal subject matter. And these calls can go on for hours. Why can't I recreate that connection when we text? I realize in the group text that I use our third friend as a sort of mediator to keep the conversation fresh and fun, but I don't know why it gets awkward in the private chats with the person I've been friends with for half a decade. She still has a year and a half before she graduates, and in that time, I'd like to further develop or at the very least maintain our friendship. Any advice on having a deep, meaningful conversation via text? We'd had a fling in the weeks before she left for grad school, and we both ended up developing feelings we weren't prepared for. Due to the distance, we decided not to pursue a relationship. This baggage in our past hasn't seemed to impact our friendship, but I'm very cautious not to do or say things that may be interpreted as me having a hidden agenda. While it would be great if something developed between us in the future, if we found ourselves in the same city again, for example, right now I just want to build and maintain the friendship using the only means available while she's in school, which is text. Thanks. In need of textual healing.
Oh, I see what you did there. Good name. Look, in this one, there's a few things going on. The first thing that comes to mind, well, oh man, let me just deconstruct this a little bit. So okay. am I just old? Do people not talk on the phone that much anymore? I mean, what?
No.
Okay.
No, they don't.
So voice messages, if you want to send something like that via text, is fine. But text is just by nature a limited medium. It's asynchronous. It's not happening at the same time. Skilled writers have huge advantages over unskilled writers, which is, I think, their third friend who's quote unquote keeping the conversation fresh. I think he's probably a skilled writer and textual healing is less skilled. So I'm not sitting next to you. I can't tell if you're bland. I can't really tell if she's not that interested or if she's just keeping you at arm's length because she doesn't want to catch feelings again. I'm going with the latter though. I think she's probably busy. She's trying to protect her emotions. Maybe you can do the same. That said, if you really want to stay connected, texting isn't going to be ideal. It's not as much of a connection. It's not as much of an investment emotionally. And obviously, even if it were a really good means of communication, it's not working for you at all right now. So try calling her. I know you said that, oh, they can't mesh schedules. I know you're worried about this. Here's the thing. If you try calling and she doesn't want to chat, she's not interested. Done. There's no point sticking to text because you think you might have a better chance at getting a response because you're just delaying the inevitable. If she really wanted to prioritize your friendship or your romance or whatever, she would make time to talk to you by phone. It doesn't matter how busy she is. If you're being relegated to text, you're on that level of priority, which is low. I get it, though. This is like procrastinating asking your boss for a raise because he might say no. But try this because it's better, in my opinion, to figure out where you stand. And the best way to do that is to put yourself up for a bit of risk and then find out. So sure, you might have to learn the hard way, but it'll be better than not knowing at all. So stop toeing the line and walking on this little tightrope here. Just figure out what it is that you want and then test and see if that's what she wants. But I have a feeling that she sees you as a friend and nothing more, and I feel like that's fine. I feel like you say you're fine with that, but I don't really believe you from your letter here. So good luck, textual healing. I would say your best bet is to test out this situation and probably just move on. All right, next up.
Hey, I've been listening to your other show for a couple years now, and I really think in the long run, the change will be positive. In my opinion, building the brand around your name as opposed to a self-help gimmick is more beneficial. I'd be more likely to recommend a show called The Jordan Harbinger Show than the other name, just based on how some people get defensive when you would recommend self-help or something along those lines. In time, I think you'll surpass the old show's numbers and be better off for it. Anyway, on to my dilemma.
Of course, on to my problems. And you know, I just want to make a quick note. He didn't say the name of the other show. He literally wrote the other show, the old one. I love that. He did like, the show shall not be named.
Yeah, the show that will not be named. All right, let's go to his dilemma. On your show in the past, you've always stressed the importance of filtering in and out the right types of people into your life. I've been seeing this girl for a few months now, but I've always been hesitant to take things to the next level just simply based on lifestyle differences. She's a homebody, and I'm an outdoorsy adventure sports guy. and I often travel far and wide for these experiences. She's expressed a desire to take things to the next level and quote-unquote go official and exclusive, but I'm hesitant because she's not what I look for, and it's important to me that the person I'm with have similar values. This being said, I never voice these concerns to her. She's a giant sweetheart and a beautiful girl, and she doesn't have that many friends because she just recently moved to the area. Should I voice these concerns and give her the opportunity to shift to more of a lifestyle that's in line with my own to make this work, or is it not worth the trouble? I don't like the idea of trying to change somebody, but in this case, where do you draw the line? Thanks, Adventure Man.
Okay, so first of all, there's no chemistry between him and this other girl.
Nope.
At all. I've always been hesitant to take things to the next level simply based on lifestyle differences. No, you've been hesitant to take things to the next level because you're not that into her. She's a giant sweetheart and a beautiful girl, and she doesn't really have any friends. Does that sound like somebody you talk about with love in your eye? No, there's no chemistry here at all.
None.
Zero. So with that note, the difference between trying to change someone and trying to get someone to open up to new ideas and experiences is there's a big gap there. Trying to change someone, trying to get someone to try something new. Okay, fine. Is she open to this stuff at all, the outdoorsy stuff, or is she resistant? Is she resistant out of fear, or is she resistant out of a lack of interest? If she's resistant, see why. If it's all out of fear, maybe she needs encouragement, courage, a little bit of a push. If she's resistant because she's not interested at all in the activity, you have to see if the adventure travel stuff is a core value in your life that you can't sacrifice. Because if she's not interested in the same things as you, and it's not just fear of the unknown, you've got a tough choice to make. It sounds like she's really interested in you, and you're a nice person, so you don't want to hurt her feelings. Like you said, she doesn't have that many friends. That was my key there. But if your core values don't match up well, this is doomed to failure. So you got to see if the activity thing is a core value for you. I also think she might be more interested in you than you and her because she's new in town, and she's counting on you for social connection and support, which, by the way, is a recipe for disaster. That is an inevitable implosion because she's sort of chasing you and you're trying to separate from her. So what's going to happen is you're going to get further away and she's going to run faster, essentially. So you better get ahead of this or it's going to cause you both just a lot of hurt in the future, in the very near future too. And also for the future, make a list of core values that you're absolutely not willing to sacrifice. And you got to write these down. Write it down in a place you'll see it, and you'll be able to reference it. I don't mean writing down you prefer redheads or whatever. I mean real core values. Really think about what you love doing and being and what your partner must have. Spirituality, beliefs about health, beliefs about money, that kind of stuff. This list should be short so you don't end up with an impossible task ahead of you. But it should serve as a reminder of what matters deeply to you so that you don't find yourself in this type of situation ever again. And this will allow you to choose who you want to be with, rather than allowing circumstances and, frankly, your self-imposed guilt trip to dictate who you end up with. You need to choose who you want to be with, not who you end up with. And it sounds like you're headed for the latter in this scenario. So good luck. All right, next.
Hey, Jordan and Jason. I'm 32 and have been in a relationship with a wonderful guy for a little over 2 years. The problem is that he lives in a small town about an hour away. We've made things work by seeing each other 2 or 3 times a week. In the beginning, I really pushed to see him more, hinting that I'd like to live together and things like that. We've discussed living arrangements on numerous occasions, but the ending is always him saying, "When our leases are up, we'll figure it out. We both want to live together, so we'll make it happen." I've been a hairstylist with the same company for 13 years. While I can move anywhere and have a good career, I recently transferred within the company to a more prominent location and have been succeeding exponentially. Since I'm doing so well, I've made it very clear that I would not be the one moving to him.
Good for you. Good for you, by the way.
Yeah, stand up for it.
Mm-hmm.
He works basically retail and doesn't really have any career goals or ambitions that I'm aware of, which means, in his words, he cannot afford to live up here. His solution, I move down there and commute an hour a day each way.
Nope. No.
And in her words, nope, 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 and no.
Yeah, super selfish, this guy.
Yeah. Oh, it gets better. The other problem is that he has 4 cats. Yeah, I know. And I have a dog.
Okay.
No one where I live will rent to someone who has 5 pets. Basically, it's a 2-pet max in this area. I've checked. He said on several occasions that he won't get rid of any of the cats. I'm not a monster that expects him to drop them off at a kill shelter, but he has lots of family close by. His solution to this problem, we should buy a place. yet neither of us are close enough to making enough to do that. Again, I'm 32 and I want a family and children. I want to be moving towards those goals, not just maybe one day magically have enough financial stability to pull it off. I feel like this might be a problem of mismatched priorities and values. He's a great guy and has been there for me through a lot. Is it time to let go or time to try harder on my part to work out a solution? Any advice or insight would be greatly appreciated. Harsh or kind, let me have it. Thanks. Wants kids, not cats.
All right, so these sound like real issues for you guys, and it sounds like he is doing nothing to try and solve these problems. His solution is you do a bunch of extra work and be super inconvenienced by this because I don't want to have to move, even though you have the career that's actually going somewhere and I don't. No thanks. That's ridiculous. He doesn't have any ambition. He doesn't have any career momentum, but yet he won't move to you even though you do have those things. Come on. He uses the cats as an excuse. So his solution is that you spend 90 minutes a day commuting so he doesn't have to make any lifestyle changes. It sounds like a child. This is somebody who might have been there for you, but he is absolutely not prioritizing you. And I understand the logistical dilemma here, but in any relationship, both people have to work hard to make things work right. And it seems like he won't budge at all, but he expects you to do all the work. That is what your relationship might end up being. So look at that ugly, burned yellow picture and think about that forever. Because if you move and you end up living together and you've got your commute, do you think that solves the problem? That's not the problem. The problem is he's selfish. Or at least he's not thinking of you at all. That's the problem. The problem is not a logistical one. So you have to ask yourself if you're okay being the person who always has to sacrifice. And it sounds like you're not, because you've got this big promotion and you don't feel like dealing with that. If you're not the one who's always willing to sacrifice, you need to have a frank talk with this guy. And you need to see if there's a future, if he's just along for the ride. It almost sounds like he's just along for the ride. It wouldn't surprise me if you guys are in this relationship and if we had truth serum, we might be able to see that he's just kind of like, yeah, I mean, she's great. Yeah, I mean, she's, you know, da, da, da. Like, I feel like this guy just doesn't have a plan. And what little plan he does have involves you doing a bunch of work and rearranging your whole life for his convenience. He's treating you like an option, and you're treating him like a priority. Stop doing that.
Bravo on that astute reading of that email, Jordan. I think you nailed that one on the head. And you didn't even bring out the four cats, which I thought was very, very professional of you.
Yeah, you know, I mean, some people have four cats. I had easier targets on this one, you know, than the four cats.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's not the four cats. If somebody has four cats, okay, fine. But, oh, I can't move because I have four cats, even though my family... I mean, that's just such a BS excuse. It's just such a BS excuse. Oh, I don't want to move to be with the person I love because I might have to have one of my cats or two of my cats stay with my parents where they'll be loved and fed and taken care of. Give me a break.
Yeah.
Give me a break. All right. Recommendation of the week. Voyeur. Have you seen this movie, Jason? It's about this motel voyeur who built some sort of observation deck to watch everybody in the motel do all this stuff. And he journaled it meticulously. And there's a couple twists and turns in the plot here, but it's a fascinating story. This guy spent 30 years researching it.
No spoilers because it's in my queue. And it's one of the ones that I definitely have queued up for this week. I saw it come through and I was like, ooh, that looks pretty juicy.
Yeah. Jen and I really liked it. The guy is a total weirdo, as you might expect. And the story just gets weirder from there. So I highly recommend it. Voyeur, V-O-Y-E-U-R. It's on Netflix. Hope you all enjoyed that. I want to thank everyone that wrote in this week. So many good letters in there. Don't forget, you can email us Friday@JordanHarbinger.com. Note the address change. The Feedback Friday inbox is no longer at the other domain. It is Friday@JordanHarbinger.com. I will not see anything sent to the other domain ever again, probably. So you can get your questions answered on the air if you send it to the right place. We're happy to keep you anonymous, of course. A link for the show notes for this episode can be found at jordanharbinger.com/podcast. Quick shout outs to Isabel Yong. She's in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. She listens on her commute. She says it's better than pop songs on repeat. Thanks for setting the bar extra low for us there, Isabel. And Max Rook. He's a soccer coach over at Pepperdine University. Thanks for being a fan of the show, man. I'm on Instagram and Twitter @JordanHarbinger. It's a great way to engage with the show. I'm no longer at The Art of Charm on Twitter. Jason, you're on social.
I'm on Instagram at JPD, and check out my other podcast, Grumpy Old Geeks. We tell you what went wrong on the internet and who's to blame so you can be the hippest person around the water cooler.
And keep sending in those questions to Friday at JordanHarbinger.com. We will see you next time.